You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
For Stumpcrossa, and it is driven by Nissan. RJ.
He knows sports.
What if we made you like an ice crew member for the Islanders?
An ice cream vendor?
And he's very humble.
Your mother.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
So I love paying attention. They got Silva.
Who is Silva? Oh, there's no Dave today. It is Dan, and it's going to be a team effort. A team effort today for Stump. Rick gets away with not having to ask a question because he's going to rope himself in here with the camaraderie. Which is great. We got the horse whistler. We got everybody. Love the horse whistler.
Yeah, we can tell.
All right. 800-919-3776. Let us do a little stump. We are going to start it off with Ken in Mississippi. First up here on a Wednesday Stump Grasa here. Kenny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Wow, leadoff hitter. Never thought I'd have the honor. Good morning, guys. Good morning, companies. So my question for you, Dan. This quarterback has the distinction of two consecutive 24 completion games in one season. He also is the first quarterback in NFL history to go for over 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions.
All right, repeat that again. The first quarterback in NFL history to have two
consecutive completions twice in a season.
Okay.
And he also is the first to go over 30 and under 10 for touchdowns and interceptions.
Okay, over 30, under 10, two consecutive games with 24 or more completions.
Consecutive completions, not 24 or more. They were straight 24 consecutive completions.
So it's somebody who's got a low interception ratio, probably. I'm thinking he's like a West Coast offense type of guy.
Yeah. You need the college he went to for a hint?
Yeah, give me the college, yeah.
Syracuse University.
Well, the answer's got to be Donovan McNabb.
Wow, you're the man. Take it easy, guys.
Kenny, wow. Appreciate you. And he played in the West Coast offense with Andy Reid. So there you go. Because remember, West Coast offense predicated on rhythm, timing, not deep shots, you know, just controlled routes. Boom.
I can't believe he just gave you a wow for getting that. He told you the Syracuse. I mean, come on.
Well, would you have known it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's not exactly Syracuse is not quarterback you.
Right.
So that did kind of hit. So what? I got it right.
All
right. I didn't cheat. I looked it up. I went in my brain.
Don't attack me.
No, there's an attack because you attacked me.
No.
Just there was I'm an not attack. A horse. He's like, oh, buddy, you got a wow out of that.
Just because I'm not a horse and there's no one here to protect me.
One day, you know what? You're going to wake up. I don't know if it's in the morning, middle of the night. Not even in a cold sweat, but it's gonna be like an epiphany you're going to have. You're going to be like, wow, the horse whistler. Wow, that is genius. Next, Andy Merrick. He's got a shot here on Stump. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Got NFL draft season approaching.
Love it.
So, Dan, here's your Jets draft question.
I love Jets draft questions.
I know you do. So, hundreds of draft picks over the years by the Jets.
Yeah.
They have tapped one school, that's right, they have tapped one school more than any other, and it's not even close.
Oof.
Name that university.
Oh, could we get a region of the country? No.
No.
No. It's not Oxford, is it? Enough overseas?
No.
Well, Dave gets hints. That's called Google.
How dare you?
I said it.
This isn't in one of your fancy packets that you get from the Jets?
No, they don't include hundreds of years of draft information. I'm going to say, how about if I ask you a hinted question, will you give me a yes or no?
I might.
Okay. Is it a Big Ten school?
It currently is.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase that. Current Big Ten, meaning like as of today on March 27th, or come the fall of 2024, current Big Ten school?
It was a Big Ten school last season.
Okay. Okay. Whew. I will say, and I'm not confident about this one, not confident. The Ohio State University.
Oh, Daniel, no. Greg Buttle would be very upset.
That was my second guess.
Oh, my goodness.
That was my second
guess.
You
work with the guy.
Penn State. Penn State.
Dumb. Damn.
Darn it. Andy, good one. That's a good one.
You got overzealous there. That's what happened.
Well, I had a lot of options. I mean, the Big Ten, you know, they got a lot of universities there. But I knew it was going to be something like in this kind of region.
Buttle never mentioned that, huh?
Oh, he wouldn't know that the Jets drafted more Penn State players than any other.
Wow, maybe he knew it.
He wouldn't know that.
Some school pride?
Nah. No, I don't even think he likes school now, to be quite honest with you.
Can I ever tell you the Buttle story at a golf tournament?
Tell me.
The ESPN golf tournament, he's the best. Like, so anytime I'm with him, it's kind of like just sit down and listen to Tim tell stories. So we're going back and forth, and he's telling a story. And then some, you know, one of the people that was going to golf, one of the fans, I guess, of ESPN Radio who was playing in the tournament, decided that he wanted to sit down and kind of be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
In mid-story, he tried to interrupt Greg as he was telling the story. And without skipping a beat, Greg looks at him and goes, "No one cares what you think."
That's Greg.
And
that's
he just
Greg.
Finished the story. It was hilarious.
That is Greg. Oh, season can't get here soon enough. All right, let's go to Steve. What is this, Leonardo, RJ?
You're not familiar with Leonardo?
No. Is that a location, Steve? Good morning.
That's Central Jersey.
DiCaprio or the Ninja Turtle?
Steve, where's Leonardo?
Yes, you ever see Clerks or Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yes.
That's where it was filmed.
Clerks. Oh. Clerks is filmed in Leonardo. That's right.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's like they have a post quick office stop. And everything? Leonardo?
Yes, yes. Quick Stop is right there. You can drive up and just like the film. People go there and take pictures like Jay and Silent Bob all the time.
I had no idea.
The Quick Stop is still there. Go see it, Dan.
Wow. I might as well be Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo. All right, Stevie, what do you got?
All right, I got Dave on this one a few years ago on a Saturday, so let's see if you guys can get it.
Well, what if I was listening to that episode? Then I would have known the answer already.
All right, so you remember Mark Sanchez's butt fumble? Who recovered his butt fumble?
Oh, are you kidding me? Not Staten Island's own Steve Gregory.
Oh, my God. You're good. You're so good. So good.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Steve, appreciate it. My best to the
that
people in Leonardo.
That was a layup for you.
What's that, Bob?
That's a layup for
you. He's doing okay.
So again, I can't win for trying, right? So if I get something right, it was a layup. But he just said Dave didn't even know it 3 years ago. So do I get any credit for anything?
No, I'm going to give you credit, but that was, come on.
But that one was easy.
Right, there was no chance you were not going
to know. But
Dave
didn't know it, but because I knew it, that it's not a legitimate question, is what I'm getting.
I'm not saying it's not a legitimate question, but there was like to go into that question thinking that he was going to be able to stump you with it when you're the Jets guy. Right, Dave's the Giants guy. If you didn't get Dave on it and it was a Giants question, I could say, well, Gross is going to have a tough one with this.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's people who are fans of teams, but they're not maybe stooped in history or they don't know the ins and outs. All right, let's keep moving on. Let's move on.
What fumble, though, man?
I mean, that to me is one of the more overrated plays in history. Because that game, if you remember the game itself was already done over with. It was one-way traffic at that point. That was almost like the cherry on top. People, you know, like if
it's for a those memorable, that, it's a memorable cherry, though.
Right. I mean, but people that weren't around or didn't see it, they hear butt fumble and they think like that was the deciding touchdown in the game, like the fake spike was.
No, no, but it was how it looked.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was the force.
It was Thanksgiving.
It was the force into which he went into that man's butt.
And it's sad that Brandon Moore is lumped into that, because Brandon Moore is a really, really good player.
That really bothered him, I understood.
Devastating.
Who's that? Me?
Brandon Moore.
Yeah.
That really bothered him.
Great player. Was a defensive lineman, undrafted out of Illinois, became a Pro Bowl guard. Mainstay. Guy played every freaking week. By the way, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. Let us go to Mm-mm-mm. Chris, Massachusetts. He's got a stump question. Christopher, good morning. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm actually from Staten Island. I played against Gregory in high school.
Really? Did he ever pick up a butt fumble in high school?
No. He was like Bugs Bunny. He used to throw the ball to himself, run and go catch it and score.
I used to have to do that as a kid, by the way, so I can appreciate where he's coming from.
A pick up phones?
All right, so my question
is, play baseball by yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So my question is for baseball. Who has the most career opening day wins without a loss?
You're talking about a pitcher?
Yeah, pitcher in baseball.
So a starting pitcher, most career wins on opening day without a loss?
Yes, sir.
So they're undefeated. Give me a team.
So I have some local flavor to it.
I'll say Doc Gooden.
Anything from you, Rick?
Oh, you want me to participate? So Doc Gooden's not right, is what you're pretty much saying.
Right, or else he wouldn't have asked you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got local flair.
Yep.
How about Seaver?
No, he had the most starts.
Not the most wins?
Jimmy Key is 7-0 in opening day.
Jimmy Key, wait a sec. But see, so Jimmy Key, how many of them were with the Yankees? How many of them were with Toronto?
I don't know that answer, but I know he was a Yankee. I grew up watching him.
Yeah, so he might have only had one or two starts on opening day as a Yankee, and then the rest probably had to be with Toronto. But Toronto had that Dave Steeb at the time in the rotation. I'm surprised he didn't get more of those opening day starts. All right, Chris, good stuff. I appreciate that. I went Mets only because, and Rick, the Mets are the best team in baseball history on opening day. They have the best record all time on opening day. It's the other 161 games that seems to give them problems.
Right.
But opening day, they're unbeatable.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we can't carry that momentum throughout the season, you know?
No, you don't want that. Let's see. How about Chris in Bethpage, who's up next here on Stump? Christopher, what's going on?
Hey, Ben. Hey, by the way, I was at the real fumble game, the Herman Edwards Giant fumble game. I was at that freaking game.
Miracle at the Meadowlands. Nice.
If you remember, he was trying to hand it off to Larry Zonka. And
Joe Pisarcik.
Exactly. Anyhow. All right, so hockey question. Alex Ovechkin just became the third player in history to score 20 goals in 19 consecutive seasons. Who are the two others?
Ooh. Gretzky?
I think I just saw this, too.
This was actually, when he did this, was in The Sim. Which, Dan, you were not
here this
for.
Yeah, I know this. This is, Gordie Howe.
That's one of them. I remember this.
And the other one is not. The other one is.
So if it's not Gretzky, I'm going to say.
No,
it's not Gretzky.
You're not going to get it. I know, RJ, this
Mike
is.
Mike Gartner.
No. Brendan Shanahan.
Yep.
Very good.
Wow.
Good job.
Yes.
See, that's why it's a team. That's why it's a team. Chris, good question. So wait a sec. Gordie Howe, Brendan Shanahan. Nice. Shanny was a real good player. Like, really good player.
He was nasty, too, man.
Sniper, bring the toughness element.
He was a tiny little stick.
Do horses eat ore?
Yeah, that was the last time I asked Dave a hockey question. I even had sound for that one that Raymond ruined.
Uh-oh.
It's not my fault.
It was your fault.
Shots fired.
You played the exact clip that I was going to play for Stump Rothenberg.
It was not the exact clip, though. I've told you this numerous times. It
that
was
might
a different
be the,
cut.
That might be the biggest debacle in the history of the show.
Oh, please. We've done worse. We've literally done worse in this show.
Wow.
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 What a shot.
Wow. Somebody not a fan of the show. It's obvious.
Not a fan of the horse whisperer, the horse whistler, I don't think. Well,
you know what? With great power comes great responsibility. That's all I got to say. And he keeps it in a locker.
Who's that man with the assless chaps? It's the horse whistler.
It's almost like the a helmet or something, like a magical helmet, and then they put it away in like some buried like treasure chest because they don't want any part of it. And then they open up the chest, and all of a sudden it's like vibrating and lighting up. That's the whistle. He came within possession of the whistle, and he stuck it in his locker for weeks and months and years.
He doesn't want to have to deal with that kind of power right now. It's too much to handle sometimes.
You need to wear the whistle around your neck on a chain like it has some like mystical powers.
Raymond, what you should do is you should have like a change of clothes in your backpack. And you should like run and then pop back out dressed in a new outfit with the whistle. And take your glasses off. Like, oh, that's who is that? That's not Raymond. Oh,
no.
It's the horse whistler.
Do you know who that is? Yeah, it's the horse whistler.
Murder me!
Richie in Monroe is up next here on Stump. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good, Rich.
So I just had a quick question. So since 2019, who is the total touchdown leader? That's rushing, receiving, and throwing. So it could be quarterback or any position.
Oh.
It could be a quarterback?
Well, I think that the fact that he mentioned quarterback, he probably wants us to be on that trail, right?
Well, it would make the most sense.
Which means he could be throwing a curveball, which he's trying to lead us astray into the woods.
Most total touchdowns is what you're saying?
That's what he said.
Total touchdowns.
Oh, it's got to be
including passing.
I'm going to say
Josh Allen.
Correct.
Yep.
See?
Yes.
Bang. A little bit of psychology involved. As I said, the fact that he brought up the quarterback would allow you to believe that that's an option.
Well,
and you got the answer.
Well, he would have to bring up the quarterback, because if it's just most total touchdowns, it would, of course, going to be a quarterback.
See, here's the thought process, though. Like, normally you want to said, like, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. Remember, his first MVP was in 19, but remember, he also missed a lot of time with injury. And those times that he was, like last year, for example, he didn't play, like, the whole second half of the season. Josh Allen was out there doing his thing.
Josh Allen is a specimen with the amount of running he does to the football, the hits he takes, and does not miss time. Seriously. Like, to be that athletic and to do as much as he does for that team and not get hurt?
Of course.
It's amazing.
All right. RJ, we're going over to Rico here.
That's right.
Do you have a question?
Oh, of course I have a question.
Wow, look dare at you.
I think this is actually a good question, too, because
what is the real identity of the horse whistler?
Nope. It's a Major League Baseball question. This is a current... this is not like what happened in the past. This is a pretty current question. So last season in Major League Baseball, can you tell me who, after Gerrit Cole, has the most outings with six innings pitched with two or fewer runs? Gerrit Cole is number one. Can you tell me who number two is?
AL or NL?
There is an AL and an NL.
So there's two answers. They're the same?
They're the same. They have the exact same number. Six innings pitched, six or more with two or fewer runs.
Kevin Gausman.
Is that your final guess?
That's one of them, the AL representative.
Okay.
Yes or no?
That is a no.
Wow.
Get in my head a little bit. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up.
Timely, perhaps?
Very timely.
J-Mo?
Yep, that's one.
Wow. So that's the AL representative.
Yes, sir.
Well, actually, no. He was AL, NL, and NL last year.
Yeah,
traded.
Well, he finished in the AL.
Oh, so then there's a guy you're talking about who's exclusive to the National League.
Yep.
Six innings, two runs or less.
Yep.
It's not the... is it the Cy Young winner? Because no. I wouldn't even say it is, because he didn't pitch no six innings.
Blake Snell now.
No. He's a five and fly guy.
Could it be those six innings? It's...
Could it be?
Oh, no.
Could it be you buying into the whole... Blake Snell slander?
Ooh, that's a clue, it feels like.
It's the psychology again.
Yep.
It's the mind of a serial killer.
Well, keep in mind, because you only had to go six innings, I don't know what the number is, but you're right, he never pitches into the seventh.
Usually you don't even pitch into the sixth either. But so that's the answer, Blake Snell?
Blake Snell.
Wow!
Yep. And Jordan Montgomery.
So How about that?
Cole had 23... Montgomery and Snell each had 18.
You know something? This guy, some people say he doesn't pay attention, he's not engaged.
I feel like that was very strategic.
Yeah, that very strategic.
You know what? That does fly right in the face of the narrative.
Right in it.
Like, he's not going to, you know, he's not throwing any complete games, but because he strikes so many guys out, you have a thought that his pitch count is so high, he's not even getting into the sixth.
But doesn't it just to show you that so much little is now expected out of starting pitchers? Right? And basically, like, what the threshold is for somebody to be elite, for example.
Like, if you're the Yankees and I told you you're going to get 18, I mean, he's only done it twice, like you said, Dan, and the other year's not great. But if I told you, as a Yankee fan this year, you're going to get 18 games where your pitcher goes at least six innings and gives up two runs or less, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because, again, that's almost like the norm now in baseball. But it's not going to also secure you a 7-8-year contract like some of these guys expected to get or maybe got once upon a time. That's the difference.
Glad he's a Giant.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Well, Montgomery, the same thing, though. I mean, at least if you wanted to explain away with the other stuff attached to
But the difference is, too, is Snow. That Montgomery's not going to walk like five guys in those six innings like Snell will.
Yeah, like giving up picks and stuff. And
you're not giving up picks, and I mean, it's just money with Montgomery. Yeah. And there's the international stuff and everything else, but for a team like the Yankees, I mean, should you really care about that stuff right now when you're trying to win this season? No.
No. No.
All righty, Daniel.
All right, RJ.
I have five players.
Yep.
Since we're timely to the calendar, these are all former, I'm not going to call them heroes, but names of March Madness. And you have to tell me where they went to college.
Oh, boy.
You're good at this game, though. Kerry Kittles.
Oh, that'd be a Villanueva.
That's a good start.
Yes, sir.
Not Charlie.
No, not Charlie. Kerry Kittles taken by John Calipari's Nets because they really thought Kobe Bryant would not report if they took him.
Villanueva's the one with the alopecia, right?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. Bonus question, not my originalist.
Yeah.
Charlie Villanueva.
That would be the University of Connecticut at Storrs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jamal McGlure.
Oh, my gosh.
I think you know this.
No, I know it. Oh, my gosh.
Think on it for a second.
Oh, my.
I think I know this one, too.
Gosh.
Oh. Do we open the door for Rick?
Oh, don't open it yet.
Oh, it's still closed.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody's outside. I'm using my
Dan
ring.
Dan does like the elements.
I'm using my ring camera. I see you guys walking around out there in the cold. Does anybody want to come in?
Oh, Jamal, is he? He's Canadian. Canada, right?
He did not Kentucky, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
That's right.
Yes.
Not Canada. The University of Canada.
But he is from Canada, though, right? Isn't he?
I think so.
Stand by. But
he's not, not he's sure Canadian. How that was supposed he's, born, to help he, he's born in Toronto. He works for the Raptors still.
Look, that's how
that, that helps us answer the question. I don't know.
Canada Community College.
He's a.
Ray, pull out your whistle, please.
He's a canoe. Oh, I should have known that.
All right. We're going to get back on track.
Yeah.
Are we?
Eric Gordon.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Nice.
This one a little tougher. A little more random. Etwan Moore.
Purdue.
Nice.
Look at you.
Sam Cassell.
Florida State.
Way to finish strong. Good job.
Got any more? I like this. I'm in a rhythm now.
You'd like to keep going?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Let me look up a couple more into my...
He's going to look up a couple
more. No,
he's got a college database.
No,
how dare you.
I have a bonus.
That's like the people at PETA trying to see who we're going to give a horse whistle to. Santiago, yep. Raymond, boom, you're in.
All right. Austin Rivers.
It's 5 minutes, but Duke.
Jared Sullinger.
Ohio State.
Nice. How difficult? Because I'll make this last one.
Make it difficult.
No, I probably won't get it if it's really difficult. This is Dave's thing. I'm not a huge, where do they go to college guy.
Okay. One more.
Yeah.
He doesn't like hard ones.
Oh, boy.
If I don't get it, I don't get it. Whatever.
Wally Zerbiak.
No, oh, Miami.
Come on.
Miami of Ohio.
That's right.
I'll say Miami.
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, all right.
Nice job.
Very good-looking women at Miami of Ohio.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because of the elements.
No, it's not because of the elements.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio.
Now you're showing off.
Now I'm showing off is right.
Nice. How do you know about Miami, Ohio, by the way, with the...
My first high school girlfriend went to Miami, Ohio. It's pretty much the only...
Time out. Wait, so what you're saying is from high school, she then went to Miami of Ohio.
So you almost made it seem like she went backwards. You're basing it on one person.
Or was that I was such a stud in high school that I was dating a college girl? No. My first girlfriend ever, because I went to an all-boys school and then moved out to Michigan, ended up graduating high school and going to Miami of Ohio.
You went to Miami of Ohio?
I did not go to Miami of Ohio. She went to Miami of Ohio.
Well, you're telling, you said he went to an all-boys school, moved out to Michigan, and then she went to Miami of Ohio. So who are we talking about, her or you?
Oh, my God.
Did you see her while she was at Miami of Ohio?
I went to visit her. I went to visit her at the Miami
of Ohio. That's all you had to say.
Yeah, but you were making it a little difficult.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, my Lord.
Blow the whistle again.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm sitting here, it's like an SAT story.
Instead of the dump button, I'm going to have to start using the whistle.
Blow the whistle, please.
It's in the bag.
How's it on me?
I need a timeout.
Ray, was that the easiest story to follow or not?
I'm not going to say it was the easiest story to follow.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. And that was Stump Grasso, by the way, driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill to Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. All right, by the way, because we got some time here, and more of your calls at 800-919-3776. So yesterday, on this very show, you were there, right? You were part of the festivities.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the news that I decided to distribute to the free listening world about the NFL and the schedule on a particular day? Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you remember it. But apparently, not too many other people did. Because what you heard first on this program, and I'll remind people that weren't listening, this is what I said on this show yesterday. So you know that Christmas this year is a Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There will be NFL football on Christmas, even though it's a Wednesday.
You're going to get a Wednesday Christmas game.
You will get Christmas games.
Games.
Yes. Wow. On Wednesday, Christmas, December 25th.
So they're just trying to take Christmas right away from the NBA. Huh?
Oh, they've done it already.
Yeah.
But remember, there was that, because of the leap year, Christmas Wednesday. You say, well, they've never really done games on Christmas or on Wednesday in the NFL. How are they going to be able to do that? Well, they will do it. Again, from associates of mine, there will be, indeed.
The NFL will do what they want when they want.
Correct. Okay. So it'll be a little unique with the scheduling, but they're going to make it work. They're going to get creative, and there will be. So set your appointments now. Christmas Day, you're going to have NFL football this year. Okay, so that was yesterday. I'm telling you, I'm breaking the story, right?
Yeah.
Breaking the story. So then why is it that later on in the morning, when I get home, I don't know if it was pre-nap, post-nap, whatever, and you pop on the old social media and you see that all these NFL sources and insiders are reporting that there's going to be games on Christmas Day. Hours after you heard it first on this program, why didn't we get the credit? Why didn't I get the credit for breaking that story?
So you wanted to be cited.
Isn't that what happens when any of these yo-yos in any of the sports break a story? It could be the most insignificant transaction of all time. You know, Joe Mozzarella signed a two-way contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You know where you messed
first
up?
First on it was Darren Drager.
You know where you messed up?
What was that?
You should have tweeted it. You should have said, sources are telling me. And people would cite you. Adam Schefter would have quote tweeted you.
We could have done it as a show, as a station. I can't multitask. I'm sitting here doing the show. I can't type and talk at the same time.
Can barely get his mouse to work.
Schefter would have a tweet.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Sources are confirming at Dan Gross's story that the NFL will have a game on Christmas
That's
Day.
All I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for. Is that too much to ask? Because everybody does it. Everybody's so quick to fact check and see who had it first. You know, Jordan Montgomery signs with, Heyman had it first. Well, you know what? The NFL's playing games on Christmas Day. Dan Gross had it first. On this show. On this station.
I got to say a couple things here. Okay? First is, I don't think it's fair to blame Raymond for this.
I'm not blaming Raymond. I don't know who I'm blaming, but the point is that we get no credit for what we broke.
Well, I don't think
you
made a big enough deal. You didn't make a big enough deal of it.
That's fair.
Right. Like, had you made it, like, listen.
But if
no
it's
one
out
knows,
there.
I know, but no one, you had to set it up where no one knows this.
I'm
letting
everyone
know now. Right. And then we, on our end, and I'll lump myself into this whole thing.
Yeah.
We should have made a bigger deal out of it, and we probably should have, as a show account.
Agree. 1,000% agree.
And then you probably would have got the credit.
And it was ironic, by the way. It's not like I just woke up and knew that the story was going to be leaked that day. I just woke and I said, you know what? I'll throw you a nice little gift. Right? Even though that it's not going to be months away or whatever, I'll give you a nice little crumb. I came into this information, by the way, a few weeks ago. Okay? So I've been just like sitting on this. And I said, you know what? Today it's harmless enough, right? Baseball season's on the way. We'll give you a nice little football thing. People like football. It's very popular. So I give it to you. It basically is like a fart in a blizzard.
Wow.
And then instead, hours later, other people are taking credit for it.
Well, I mean, it's one guy. I mean, the guy who broke it is the guy. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble here, but I mean, it is Schefter.
Well, he didn't break this one.
No, we didn't, and we screwed up.
Okay? Didn't break this one.
We screwed up. We should have made a bigger deal of it. It's our fault. He gets a nice nugget. It's a terrific nugget. I got to tell you. Beautiful nugget.
I have associates.
You tell us every day.
I know.
Good for you. And you've been sitting on this for weeks.
Sitting on it.
I couldn't have sat on it for that long. No chance.
But see, that's not my thing, though. You know what I mean? I'm not a newsbreaker. I'm not sitting here like the insiders and so on and so forth. I know things. People trust me with privileged information, but you also want to then keep that privilege. So you have to pick and choose what you decide to run with.
Yeah, I understand that. But this is, I mean, that's big news.
Well, it is to some. Others don't care. But to some of it, I do.
We don't care.
I'm a nerd when it comes to that stuff.
Well, you're a football nerd. Everyone loves it. I mean, there's some people actually I heard yesterday that aren't happy that there's going to be Christmas Day football.
Yeah, which why?
Just because they want to spend time with their family, I guess.
Stop.
I'm just telling you what I heard.
You could still spend time with your family and watch football, or at least have football on in the background. Right?
Right, but I think there's some people that feel like they need to be fully involved, fully invested in the football, and it's going to take away from the time that they're spending with their family, I guess.
Now, you're not going to get a triple header like you got last year. You're probably going to get the two. Shoot, I could even tell you even a little bit more. You want me to tell you a little bit more that the so-called, the other people that broke the story wouldn't even give you? Ooh. Now, I didn't even read all the accounts.
All right, let's make sure we tweet this out, boys. What do we got?
No, this is kind of like the insignificant part of it or whatever, but I think that there's a better than good chance that you might be looking at division matchups on that day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How about that? That's real nice.
I don't know what division, but I'm just saying I think that they might look to keep it in division for scheduling continuity purposes as well.
Well, those games got huge numbers.
And if you think about it, too, on the back end of the whoever does play, they're going to be off for about, what, 10, 11 days?
Yeah, which is nice.
So there's a reward to it. You're inconvenienced because you're playing on Christmas, but then you almost get like an extra free bye week there at the end when you're only, what, a week or two shy of the playoffs.
That is tough, though, if you're a player and you got kids having to play on Christmas.
Yeah, I guess. But I think that, you know, they're going to structure it around the holiday. I mean, you got to do it. Look, Thanksgiving Day. Like, we've been playing Thanksgiving football for how long? Right? If you're a Lion or a Cowboy, like, you might not be able to have, like, a regular Thanksgiving. And now you even have the night game. If you have to be the road team on Thanksgiving night and you got to travel, you're either having Thanksgiving on Wednesday or Friday. Or not Wednesday, because you got to travel. You're probably having Thanksgiving no earlier than a Friday.
Right, but that's, like, that's a selfish thing. Like, I mean, yes, it's Thanksgiving and it's my favorite holiday. I love it. And I've had plenty where I don't get to be home for Thanksgiving and it's not the same. But it's just you're missing the meal and the camaraderie, I guess. But if you're a dad and you're missing Christmas with your kids, especially if you got young kids.
They used to practice on Thanksgiving. Now some teams even give the players off on Thanksgiving and Christmas if it comes on holidays. More so Christmas, I think. I think Thanksgiving will still come in because that's a Thursday. It's an important day or whatever. But they might try to like change the schedule to get them out a little bit earlier. Things have changed compared to the way they used to be.
Well, that's not that bad, though. So at least in that, like, I used to not mind that because at least it gets me out of doing stuff at the house, you know?
So Rick doesn't want any part of it.
Well, like, Rick can't help out with the cooking and stuff because Rick's at practice.
Right, because Rick's got work to do. He's got an excuse. He's got that job thing. Unfortunately.
Yeah, then you come home and you just stuff your face. It's the best.
That's the beauty of it. No gifts or nothing Thanksgiving. That's why it's the best. And that's why I like Black Friday better. I like the Black Friday meal better than the Thursday meal. That's why I was not a fan of the Black Friday game last year that we had to do. Because that killed the day after meal.
I actually think I agree with you.
No, it's without... Look, number one, the food tastes better the next day. I think so. Number two, if you host people on Thanksgiving like we do, you don't have anybody at the house the next day. I could sit there and wear sweatpants at the table. I don't have to worry about manners and being, you know, proper in front of people. It's my house, it's my thing, and I enjoy the meal.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, too, because I spend so much time cooking and everything else that by the time I sit down and eat the meal, it feels like it lasts like 10 minutes. I'm full, and then that's it. But the next day,
you can go Al Bundy if you want to.
Oh, I get the stuffing waffle going.
Oh,
what a treat.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The new kickoff rule change, Rick, which is going to increase some action when it comes to actually having kickoff returns and bringing that back into the game. It's what you saw in the XFL, essentially, to where they don't want anybody to get a running start. The kicker's going to run up and kick the football. Nobody's going to be allowed to move at all except the player who's receiving the kick. And then once he is in possession of it, then everybody can dart down the field and try to tackle him. It's going to get a little challenging for coaches because special teams coaches have done things a certain way for however long that they've been doing it, you know, strategy and the X's and O's. Now they're going to have to adapt to the times because what you once coached and what you once did, you can't do anymore by the way the rules are.
Right, but I mean, that's, again, I mean, this is something that, and I was listening to a bunch of people talking about this, and the prevailing thought was, and I'm going to say this the right way, because last time I said it, John Winthrop attacked me because he wanted to bring into, you know, the amount of time, and because on a fair catch or a touchback, time doesn't come off the clock, so you're also getting, you know, another offensive play. But the thought process behind this was, last season, with touchbacks, fair catches, you lost 2,000, just over 2,000 actual plays. So it was just the kick and there was no...
Isn't that amazing? 2,000.
2,000. Now, initially when the rule was brought up to ownership, it was the penalty for kicking the ball directly into the end zone was going to be ball goes out to the 35. And again, let's just remember, this is just 1 year, right? This is, we're going to test this for 1 year. So they decided that that was too penal, that they wanted to make it the 30, so there was still the opportunity for teams to kick the ball into the end zone if they felt like strategically that was the best, their best option to avoid a big kick return. But I mean, their thought is that they're going to get, they think this will limit it a little bit, but they're still going to get around 60-65% of those 2,000 plays will actually result in actual activity, a return. Which is good, because that's an exciting play. I mean, that's something that you want in the game. And if this is going to give you the opportunity to have that and limit the risk to the players, then I'm excited to see it. And there's also some, like if you watch any of the XFL games, there are some things, and I'm sure they're all thinking about ways to, I mean, that's kind of what their job is to do, is to whatever competitive edge you saw the Patriots do, where they were, you know, trying to kick it to a certain spot, is if you watch some of the XFL, there's some like the reverse stuff you've seen on these plays. Like there's still some like fun, exciting things they can do with this new rule. But dude, I mean, it's a play that I like, and I'm happy that they're finally trying to, you know, not kill it, because that's where it felt like it was headed. It was just going to be done.
Well, I mean, you could sit there also and look, the coaches are going to be creative about it. They should, right? And I think it's going to be fun for fans, but you know what's also going to happen? You're going to have a lot of coaches that'll be, and teams that'll scream bloody murder about, remember the Ravens with the Patriots and the stuff that New England was, you know, pulling on them in the playoffs and
ineligible, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, really stretching the rule book to the last syllable, basically. That's going to happen all over again. And everybody's going to try to look to have a strategic edge. Now, the onside kick is something that's pretty much obsolete in football anyways, and now it's going to be damn near almost impossible.
Because you got to announce it, yeah.
Right, you got to announce it. So that's one, and those are exciting. But it just gives you, if you are behind, it's going to make it even that much more challenging to come back and pull off one of those miracle wins, like the Jets had in Cleveland a couple of years ago.
Right. It also benefit the teams that have a kicker that can try to, I mean, I guess the best way to do this if you're the kicking team would be try to kind of, I guess, line something into the landing area and get the ball bouncing and hope that it goes into, I mean, if it's, as long as it's landing in the area, not into the end zone, and the ball rolls into the end, the ball's still live too. Right? So, I mean, I guess that would give you an advantage on the kicking side of this thing. But, I mean, this wasn't the only good rule, I think. I mean, I like this rule. The hip drop tackle rule, I mean, and how it's explained too. Like, did you read the explanation for the actual rule?
For the hip drop rule?
The hip drop rule?
No.
All right. So, it's a penalty if player grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and, here's the best part, unweights himself. It's called unweighting. Mm-hmm. So if you unweight yourself by swiveling and dropping your hips or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs or below the knee.
So basically you have to be the Matrix.
Yeah, don't unweight yourself.
And contort your body in midair while you're making this move. And we already see the inconsistencies when it comes to roughing the passer with this rule, right? Like they say you went too high. Well, no, I launched and went to go make a tackle. It's not my fault that the quarterback then moved his body, which is completely out of my control, and then I get called for a penalty. This is going to be, look, and I know why they did it. We all know why they did it. But this is going to create so much drama and so much headache. Once the season starts, brace yourself is all I'm saying. Brace yourself.
Well, I think especially early, this is going to be a point of emphasis. And whenever it's a point of emphasis, you're going to get, if it's questionable for the officials, it's going to be called.
Well, the hell with early, Rick. I mean, like, if it costs you a game because it's a bogus call, and it's all a judgment call. You know, because in real time, these officials are going to have to sit there and figure out if it was a hip drop tackle or not. That's very difficult to legislate. If there's a game in November, whatever, that costs you a game, and that might be the one game that you missed the playoffs because of, watch out.
No, I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just saying, especially early, with rules like this, especially early when they're trying to enforce it, the officials are being told that if you think it might be a hip drop tackle, call the penalty. Like, it's going to be that they're going to lean towards calling the penalty.
When in doubt, throw the flag.
Right. Because that's what they want, because they're trying to curb the behavior. That's what they do. That's what the officials used to tell us. Like, fellas, just so you know, preseason and early on in the season, if it looks like it could be a penalty, it's going to be a penalty. Because we want to incentivize you guys not to do this anymore.
Now, the kickoff rule is a one-year kind of trial run, right? Because they're going to reevaluate it in 25. Not with the hip drop, though.
No, hip drop's out.
That's gone. That's gone. A thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's law.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be, I mean, some of these that I watched that they showed the...
A lot of defensive players hate it, obviously.
Right, and like I said, like there was some thought that their team's coaching players to tackle this way, which, I mean, I guess if they're saying it, I mean, I'll take their word for it. But some of the ones that they showed the examples, you're like, oh, man, if you're going to start calling that, it's almost like now this was kind of the players adapting to no longer being able to horse collar. Because once the guy gets by you, how are you getting, you know what I mean? Like, it was, okay, I grab the back of his shoulder pads, I can pull him down. Now it's, I grab the back of him, and how else, without dropping my weight, am I going to tackle him? I'm just going to hold on and let him drag me?
Right.
Or do I go dead body, and then, you know, the force of my weight brings him down? I just going to, dude, it's, playing defense in this league, man,
it stinks.
It stinks.
It really does. Let's say hi to Ira. He's in Staten Island. He's next on 98.7. Hi, Ira. How are you?
Hey, all good. And, boy, I tell you, I love the kickoff change rule. I really do, because the way it was, it was pretty much, you didn't even have to watch. The ball's going out of the back of the end zone. And now you're going to see the better coaching staffs, okay, especially special teams coaches, they're going to use it to their advantage. And, you know, I don't know how the rules are going to play out. Maybe you guys know. But if I get this correct, you have 9 men up front, and then you have 2 guys back if you want.
Yep.
Are they going to be able to call plays where if you have your 2 outside guys left or right, are you going to start able to do like reverses?
Yep.
Because pretty much it's like a run. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that, because I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to add something to the game.
Yeah, I think the double team blocking down the field is something that they were trying to eliminate. So like if there's two, so the two
well,
guys
they already got rid of the wedge, right?
Right. So the two guys that are back to receive, the guy that doesn't catch the ball cannot engage a player, I think, that's already being blocked.
Right.
I think that's something they're trying to eliminate.
You can't do the double
all
team.
But all offensive plays, like let's say the guy catches a ball, if he wants to throw a lateral, to the other side. That's all in play.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right, Google it. There's some cool XFL plays that they showed with some reverse stuff.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Ira, look, it's exciting, and it brings a part of the game, which is potentially a game changer. I mean, kickoff, you know, special teams plays like that, those could change the flow of games. And to bring more of that back in, I don't know anybody that would complain over that.
Jobs, too, so the players like it.
Absolutely.
Right? You saw what the Steelers did the second this rule passes.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Immediately.
They'll find ways to use him for sure.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why?
Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Brian Daboll holding court yesterday. Here he was evaluating the quarterback prospects in this upcoming draft.
You're watching everything and seeing how, you know, they respond, how they respond in two-minute situations, how they respond after an interception, what's the play look like, you know, after a few bad plays or a few incompletions. And there's no exact science in it. It's obvious that there isn't. You do the best job you can. You know, I love doing it. I love evaluating the quarterbacks. I love meeting with the quarterbacks. It's an awesome position to work with, and it's a really fun position to evaluate.
So it's a whole lot of nothing that he's going to tell you, you know, in regards to one or the other, or even if maybe they're thinking about possibly diving into those waters. But I think what Joe Shane said and what John Mara said, right now, what did we say? No better than 50-50? They're taking a quarterback come April.
Yeah, it just depends where. Right? It depends where. I mean, you see some of these new mocks and some of the activity. We'll talk about it, you know, I think, later in the show. It's you may not have the ability to do it. Or be willing to give up what it's going to take to go up and get a guy that you might like. Right? I mean, a lot of these drafts have quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. And are you going to be willing to give whatever it's... I mean, are you going to be able to match what Minnesota is going to offer to get up there? Or what Denver could potentially offer to get up there? Or is this all part of just like the whole, you know, positioning yourself for everyone to believe that you want a quarterback and, you know, getting a wide receiver that you might like?
Today, by the way, is the pro day over at LSU. So you're going to see Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers. They're going to be in action. Drake May has his tomorrow at North Carolina. And nobody has a bad pro day, as we know. But, you know, you're going to hear all the reports and how many representatives the Giants had at the LSU pro day and this team, whether they were accounted for. I mean, that's, you know, par for the course this time of year. But when you look at this team and what they should do, and you and I have talked about it the last couple of days, Daniel Jones, the clock is ticking, right? And we know that there's going to be no more sand left in that hourglass at the end of the season as far as him being a New York Giant. It's done. Question is, how productive is he going to be this year and how much opportunity is he going to have this season to kind of leave one lasting imprint as the quarterback of the football Giants? And I guess a lot of it is going to be determined by what happens in April.
Well, I also think it's, I mean, he's going to be in control of this. I mean, when he came back from the initial neck injury last season, you know, Dave and I talked about this. I think there was 9 games left in the season. And I said to Dave, this might be the most important 9 games of Daniel Jones' career as a Giant. Because he has the ability to win enough games where they don't have the opportunity to draft the quarterback. Prove to them that he can play. And also don't give them the chance to get up high enough in a draft where they could consider taking a quarterback or consider taking your replacement. And unfortunately for him, he ends up blowing out his ACL. It's just you're in a spot now where Daboll and Shane are going into year 3. They didn't draft Daniel Jones. He's not available enough. And on top of that, can you justify paying him the amount of money that you're paying him right now for the level of production and the amount of wins that you're getting? And I think the answer to that question is no. Right? And I'll say this too about that, just that, you know, quickly on the sound we heard from Brian Daboll. Skill, you know, arm talent, all that stuff is important. But I would also say with Brian Daboll, the way he likes to coach and some of the stuff you saw with Daniel Jones, go back to week 1. Right in his first year, when Daniel Jones throws that interception into the end zone and he reamed him out on the sideline and we loved it. Or last year when he threw the tablet at him. Like, the kid's going to have to be made of the right stuff because Brian Daboll's going to coach him hard.
Right. Here's a question I have for Giant fans. If you draft a quarterback in the first round this year, but Daniel Jones is going to start the season as your QB, would you be willing to go through another 2004 all over again? Meaning, you might even be hanging around. You could be a 500 team, let's say 7-8 weeks into the season. You may be in the wild card hunt all year. You may not be. Who knows? But would you be willing to go through another experiment like they did 20 years ago, where they sent Kurt Warner to the bench, Eli came on, got valuable experience, but you didn't win a lot of games the rest of that season? Would you be willing to do the same thing again, given that there may not even be any assurances that it's going to lead to two Super Bowl wins like you got with Eli into the future? But what we do know is that that guy is going to take over the reins next year and Daniel Jones is going to be gone. But are you willing to punt on this season, which might show you a little bit of promise, all to get this rookie some valuable experience?
Well, first of all, you'll give us the nugget here with the numbers in Vegas and everything else.
Right.
There aren't high expectations for the Giants anyway.
But there weren't 2 years ago either.
I understand that. Everything kind of just, I mean, every close game went their way. They found ways to win.
All right, how about that? Let me rephrase it that way. What happens if you're having a season as a Giant fan, like you had 2 seasons ago? You're playing above expectations, and it might even end up where you make the playoffs, win a playoff game. But you're not going to be able to have that happen if you pull the plug on Daniel Jones midway through the season in favor of the rookie. Would you be willing to punt with that, not knowing what the future is going to lie in store with this rookie quarterback, but to give him the reps?
If Brian Daboll told me that this was the best way to develop whatever quarterback
right.
they drafted in the first round, then you'd have to believe him because he has a track record of being pretty good at it. But
and you're giving up a playoff spot.
Right, but I don't think you have to do that, though. There's nothing in the manual that says the kid has to play in year one. And you have to punt on the season. If Daniel Jones is playing well and you're winning football games, I see no problem with the kids sitting back and just learning. And then even getting a taste of like everything that goes into preparing for a playoff game and what the atmosphere is like. I know it's not playing in the actual playoff game, but to get that experience, I think, would probably benefit him. And I also think sometimes you run the risk where there aren't many guys, if any, in the NFL especially, that have any interest in punting on a season. If the quarterback is playing well and you're winning football games and you have a real chance to make the playoffs, Who wants to give up that opportunity? So this young kid, and guess what? I may not even be here to reap the benefits of having the young kid as my quarterback. Right? Like, how does that land in the locker room?
Well, but remember also what we talked about the other day. Quarterback equals job security, potentially.
It does, and I think that has to be at least in the back of their minds that it's going to buy them more time. I just think, I don't necessarily feel like there needs to be a rush to have these young kids go play immediately, because not every single one of them is ready.
I agree with you, but that's not the culture in the NFL right now, unfortunately.
Well, maybe it needs to change when you see what happens in Green Bay, when you see what happens in Kansas City. Right, Kansas City didn't punt in the playoffs. So last game of the season, meaningless game, they had Patrick Mahomes play. But, I mean, gave you a taste of what it's going to look like. And then year two, look at his numbers in year two.
But isn't it? But think about what you just said, though. Right? Like, those are two pretty damn good examples. And I understand that not every case is exactly the same. But the Green Bay situation, times two, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, then into Jordan Love. And Jordan Love still has his whole career ahead of him. But last year, you know, there were enough high moments where you think, okay, maybe he benefited from watching Aaron for a couple of seasons. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And on the other examples, to where you would think that other teams would also try to duplicate that strategy. But instead, it favors more heavily in the opposite direction, where you throw these guys in the fire game one.
Well, I think, first of all, because I think a lot of these teams that are drafting high in the draft don't know what the hell they're doing anyway.
That's why they're picking high.
Right, which is not fair to the kids. How it works. And Dave yelled at me. I'm like, in what other business does that make sense? Where you graduate from college, you come out of MIT, you're the most, you're the best and the brightest, and you're forced to take a job with the worst company. It's not what you would do.
No.
It's not in your best interest, but that's what happens in sports, is best player ends up going to usually the worst team. And it's... I think the owners are usually involved sometimes with those decisions, right? Where they're forcing their coach to have the kid go out and play. You think Frank Reich really wanted to draft Bryce Young?
No.
And then once
not.
He did, say to himself, "Yeah, Bryce Young's ready." No, probably not. But Bryce Young played, and there's only a handful of kids that can get their way through that and come out on the other side, right? And actually figure out how to make it work.
Right, so they're not going to be doomed moving forward.
Like, right, they're not going to be like so broken that
damaged goods.
They can't be fixed.
Like a Zach Wilson situation.
Right, like, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, they tried to ruin him in year one.
Well.
I mean, that was a disaster in Jacksonville. And some kids can do it, and for the most part, most can't. So if you don't, I mean, if you have a guy that you're paying $40 million to anyway, and he's playing well and the team is winning, I think you're fine letting the kids sit on the bench and just learn.
Let's say hi to Jordan in the car. He's up next here on 98.7. What's up, Jordan? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, Jordan. What's up?
I want to get on this conversation about the Giants. I mean, Daniel Jones is out of the question. He's done, in my head, big Giants fan. But what is the biggest thing a rookie quarterback needs? They need position players around them. And we could all say the Giants have zero position players. Now losing Saquon Barkley, wide receivers are – there's like you mentioned yesterday, they have no – haven't had a thousand-yard receiver over the past 5 years. They draft a quarterback number six. They're basically having him doomed because he has no one to throw to, unless they're going to say, okay, we're going to get a quarterback at six and trade for a guy like T. Higgins. But you've seen across the league how these rookie quarterbacks come into year one. Joe Burrow crushed. You guys just said Trevor Lawrence tried to kill him year one, and then they come in year two. They got Joe Burrow. They got him Chase. They got him T. Higgins. And all these guys, they need position players around them. You put someone on this Giants team, a new quarterback, with no position players.
Yeah, but Jordan,
it's
no
not going to get us anywhere.
But Jordan, that's exactly why I'm saying you don't have to play him in year one. The way you're set up with Daniel Jones and the amount of money you're paying him, and on top of that, you have Drew Lock sitting there as the backup, you don't have to pay him. So you can go through the entire draft and add talent to this team, and you get a whole other offseason to add talent to this team when the kid will eventually play.
And remember, Daniel Jones didn't even play as a rookie. Not that... I mean, he didn't start right off the bat because Eli was a starter. So he came in, you know, and had to pick his spots. But I understand
that actually had a really good rookie season.
Wasn't bad. I mean, that first game against Tampa Bay was great for him down there. And he helped him win the game.
He threw for 24 touchdowns his rookie season.
But
that's a damn good rookie season.
And then you look at what happened around him, though, and the organization failed to add to it with all the upheaval, coaching changes, you name it. And that's why we're at this position right now where he's likely playing out the string as a member of the New York Giants. Still more for us to do. We'll continue the football conversation. We also have Sim that we have to do in the final hour, plus the three stars. It's Dan and Rick, DNR 98.7 ESPN. Now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? Well, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.